Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The first thing, we're going to go to college football. I mean, you brought up Bo Schembechler, and we will get to that.
Yes, we will.
But we talked about it a few days ago, and it appears that they're moving forward with it, Rob. So it looks like college football, there's going to be a proposal. The College Football Playoff Management Committee is going to consider strongly expanding to a 12-team format. Of course, right now, it's four teams in the college football playoff, and they're talking about going to 12. Looks like it would be 2 years from now. But that is the proposal. Your thoughts?
Totally against it. As I said the other day, it's like all the paper towel people in the country that got you convinced that you need to buy a 20-pack. And you see people walking around with all this paper towels that you don't need. You don't need to buy 20-pack of paper towels. And you don't need 12 college teams to vie for the national championship. We can't even get competitive games with four teams playing. Why in the world would we want 12? It's just a waste of time. The same teams will still be the ones that win. Not anybody new. I mean, we've heard this before. It's just like even when we do the 64 for the college basketball. Still waiting for a mid-major to win. They've been given every opportunity. Still waiting on that. But that hasn't changed. It's usually the same usual suspects. And that's what's going to happen in college football. The same teams will still win. They'll just have to win two or three games instead of one or two. I mean, that's all that's going to happen. This is nothing more, and it's fine, than a money grab to try to sell more playoff games to the networks to get people, the networks to pay more money for them because they're not just a Sugar Bowl or some bowl or a bowl game that doesn't matter. Now this is for the national championship. This is like the best of 12, you know, teams, so now this costs a lot more because it's in the mix. I get it. They're trying to make up for the money that's been lost over the last year and a half. Anything to add more money to the mix, I get. I'm out on this. Let me know when we reach the final four teams. That's when I'll watch the college football playoff.
I love it. Rob Parker, you couldn't be more wrong. This is just what the doctor ordered. Enough of the nonsense. Four teams you're picking. With the parity in college football, now I'll give you Alabama here, Clemson there. They may be head and shoulders above the rest of the country, you know, in any given year. But the rest of the teams are very close. You see upsets on a weekly basis in college football. An unranked team will beat the number 15 team. The number 18 team will beat the number 5 team in the country. It happens all the time. I love it. We are now going to get some real stuff done. Look, the 14 playoff was an improvement, but it wasn't enough. This will I disagree with you that it's going to be the same team winning every year. Because on any given Sunday, baby, or in this case Saturday, anything can happen, especially with college kids.
How? So I there's no evidence also, of that.
I think there is evidence. There's no evidence because you've limited it to four teams.
No, but they even might during...
Not, they might not be the right four teams.
Even in the regular season when they play, for the most part, every once in a while, an Appalachian State beats a Michigan.
Well, nobody's talking for the about most Appalachian part, State.
It ain't no any
about
given
Iowa
Saturday.
State.
No,
I'm
it ain't no every
Iowa
given
State
Saturday.
That's
a false.
Oklahoma or something like that.
That's
I'm
false.
Nobody's talking about App State. Isn't even in the main level.
What they're D1. Division one? I'm just saying
the one double A or FBS.
It's
I get
just
the FBS,
a money
FCS,
grab, Chris, and you bought into it.
Everything's a money
hook,
grab,
line and,
Rob.
Hook, line, and sinker.
No,
that doesn't mean we have to accept everything.
Can
no.
I talk?
No,
you just,
not today.
You've been talking. Everything is a money. Stop it with the money grab. You do
everything
money grabs.
Ain't a money
I do
grab.
Money grabs. I want money. I'm grabbing money.
If no, I can you get said you don't want money.
It's going to make me money. I'm grabbing it. So stop it with that. This is good. If you're a college football player, you want a chance to compete for a national championship. This gives more teams that opportunity, and I think it'll stop all of the best kids going to Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State, because now a coach from a top 10 school rather than a top 2 school can go to a kid and legitimately say, you can compete for a national championship here. I don't want to go to Alabama and sit on the bench when I can go somewhere else and get a chance to win a championship and start right away. So I think it opens up recruiting. That's a great thing. And it makes the postseason relevant for more kids. When it's just 4 teams, if I'm not in those 4 teams and I know I'm a high NFL draft pick, I'm seriously thinking about, I'm not even playing in the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl or whatever the bowl game is we made it to. Why risk it? But if I got a chance to be in a playoff and win a championship, I'm playing. I'm strapping up. I'm hitting folks. I love it. Rob Parker, you're way off on this. This is tremendous.
You just
tremendous.
It's a fake pipe dream that kids are going to go to some top, going to go to Iowa now because, oh, it's a 12-team.
Why do you keep saying schools that are out
12-team playoff, and now you
and
have
Iowa
a chance.
Isn't bad.
No, if Alabama, if Alabama's coming and you're telling me some other school like Michigan that's won one national championship since the Louisiana Purchase, they can't even qualify. They can't even qualify or get involved.
Qualify
now you
for
tell
what?
That for the, they've never played in the college playoff. So
well,
Michigan
they can get in it now.
That okay, but they've
teams.
Won one. They've shared one national championship in its history. And now you're telling me because it's
so what
12
do you
schools,
want, Rob? Okay,
no,
who
I'm
are the
telling
top
you.
Teams in the country.
I'm telling you that it's not going to open up anything. That's
so
all
why
I'm telling
we even
you.
Play the football season?
No,
if we know
because
it's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio
because
State.
They
why
have
even
been,
play?
Because they've been able to get the best recruits, and the kids keep going, and the same schools, the kids given a choice are still going to pick those schools. If
why?
Alabama comes calling, well, I don't know. They keep
First
going
of all,
there,
they're
Chris.
Great. There are
I don't
great
know.
Players
maybe
that go
because
elsewhere, too.
Maybe because 15 players go to the NFL from Alabama. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
There's
I,
other
I have
schools
no
sending guys to the NFL, too. And,
well,
and
nobody,
your logic doesn't even make sense. Your
it
logic
does.
Is we only got 2-3 great teams in the country. So then let's just let those 2 or 3 play a little tournament.
That's what we've
it.
Been doing.
Why even have the rest of the NCAA season? If that's
what
all
we've
it's
been
about.
Doing, it's
every
the same
single
thing.
Sport you decide it on the field. Now this is better deciding it on the field. If you're really that good, win a few playoff games. What does it hurt? Like, what you're talking about, like, you're against it. What's the negative? Really?
It's just because it's uncompetitive. And it, we're
you
just,
don't
oh,
know
we're gonna,
that? You never
yes,
seen
I do.
It.
Yes, I do. Because I've
know?
Seen college basketball with the 64.
And I love
and my,
it. Who doesn't
and
love
my
March
point,
Madness?
My point is, why can't a mid-major win, Chris? Answer me that question.
Mid-majors
why?
Have been to the championship
no,
game
No, why can't
lost.
They win?
Butler,
give me an example.
Gonzaga.
Why can't they win? Because the best players won't
Rob,
go.
I
the
don't
best
care
players
if
won't
they
go.
Win. They're competitive.
No.
They get
you just
to the
said,
championship game.
Your
what
argument
you
makes
need?
No sense.
So what?
You
they
said,
didn't win.
You
they
said
got
that
to the championship game. The
no,
second
but your
best
point,
team in the country last year, Gonzaga, is a mid-major.
No, but your point is you said that now that there's going to be an opportunity for kids to compete, that the best kids will still go to other schools. They haven't
right.
done that with mid-majors, Chris.
Really?
They're in the tournament.
Jalen Suggs? Isn't
no.
he one of the best players in the country?
Yeah, but there's always a story behind them. Yes,
Gordon
there's
Hayward,
always.
Wasn't he one of the best players?
No,
he
I'm talking
Butler?
About the creme de la creme are not going
twice.
Are not going to
head.
Mid-majors. And that's why they can't win a championship. That's why they never won a championship.
You know, I just gave you 2 names off the top of my head.
Here's the scores, Chris. Let me give you the scores of the last 3 championship games. Bama, 52-24 of Ohio State. LSU, 42-25 over Clemson. Clemson, 44-16 over Alabama. Don't tell me some
and
school that's in the top 12 is going to change that.
What
it
does
ain't.
That mean? Tell me
those
what
are the
that
best
means.
Schools and they
flesh
get killed.
Flesh it out. Flesh it
I
out.
Already
what
told
does that
you.
Mean?
Your argument doesn't hold water.
Does that mean
your argument doesn't hold water?
Does that mean there's one team in the country that's head and shoulders above everybody else?
No,
so let's just cancel the season.
It tells me that these other schools have no shot. Stop it.
Let's just give Alabama the championship. Let's just give LSU the championship. Let's just give it to Clemson. I mean, what are you talking about? I don't care if it's a blowout. Let the kids play. You not like college football? What? I mean, my goodness, there is not a negative to this at all.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just horrible if it's true. And it's just a bad situation. And that is that Matt Schembechler, the son, adopted son. He was adopted, I believe, when he was 5 years old by Bo Schembechler, the legendary coach at Michigan. And he alleges that the team doctor, while Bo Schembechler was coaching at the university, sexually abused him and many other students at the University of Michigan, football players and the like. Rob, what was it? Like 850 people?
The number is eight. It could be up to 800. That's the number. Wow. Which is just astonishing.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. So Matt, who now I believe is 62 years old,
had a press conference
today with two former Michigan football players who also alleged that they were abused by Anderson. And here's what Matt said.
My father sent me to Dr. Robert Anderson for my first physical exam around 1969. I was in the fourth grade, and I had to get a physical before starting tackle football with the junior Wolverines. Dr. Anderson was the team doctor, so that's where Bo sent me for my exam. As a 10-year-old kid, I didn't really know what to expect, but what Dr. Anderson did made me uncomfortable. He fondled my genitals and conducted an invasive rectal exam with his finger. I told my mom as soon as I got home, as I was uncomfortable and shaken. And after she had heard what Anderson did, she knew something was wrong, and she wanted me to tell my dad in her presence. When Bo got home, I told him what happened, and that did not go well. Bo's temper was legendary, and he lost it. He screamed, "I don't want to hear this. I'm not hearing this." I tried to tell him repeatedly, but my effort earned me a punch in the chest. Oh. This was the beginning of the end of the relationship with him.
Well, Rob, you wrote a column today about it on Deadspin. The title, "If Bo Schembechler Turned a Blind Eye to Sex Abuse, Michigan Must Erase Him from School's History."
I think this is, we've seen this movie before, Chris, unfortunately. We saw it at Penn State. It toppled Joe Paterno, right? Lost everything. Chris, his statue came down. He was fired.
Explain that quickly. His one of his assistant coaches,
defensive coordinator,
was abusing boys, and the evidence is that Paterno knew. He was told by
one of his coaches. He was told
that,
and it was happening on campus. Chris,
yes, on campus, saw and heard the abuse in the showers.
Exactly. On the football showers, and Joe Paterno never called the police and never did anything. And that's basically what we're hearing here. Bo Schembechler died in 2005. The doctor's been dead, Chris, for a while. But these are still things that people feel very strongly about him, need to get out and let people know. And you might be asking yourself, well, why is this happening now? Because Michigan had an investigation that the details came out in May, Chris, that said that the players did report it, and that it did go to people in the administration, and nothing was done. Michigan is going to wind up having to pay for being for not being responsible and taking these matters into consideration and doing the right thing. These stories are horrific, Chris. They're graphic, And, you know, there's a lot of people. Here's where they'll go. Here comes the culture, cancel culture. Oh, no. This is not an excuse.
This has nothing to do with it.
And am I right, Chris? This has nothing to do.
This is absolutely nothing to do with cancel culture whatsoever. This is not about, because cancel culture is pretty much about political correctness. This isn't about political correctness.
This is about
sexual
abuse.
This is about human decency. Let me read this paragraph from the Detroit News, Rob. Anderson's alleged misconduct included unnecessary hernia and rectal examinations on patients who went to him for unrelated ailments. You go there because you got a sore throat and he's having you pull your pants down or something like that. Manual stimulation of male patients and arrangements in which he provided medical services in exchange for sexual contact.
This went on for years, Chris, for years. And, you know, Bo, you know this. Your daughter went to Michigan.
Yep.
He has a statue out in front of the football headquarters. His name is Schembechler Hall. He's revered. Michigan football is about Bo Schembechler, correct?
It is. Yes.
And for these college coaches, Chris, to turn, we saw what happened at Michigan State. They just had the same thing with a doctor up there.
Larry
Nassar.
Who was
abusing all the gymnastics players and whatnot. And I think the pattern here, and I do believe this, that with all the information that Michigan now has, that with the investigation, the independent investigation, Chris, which said that players reported it back then, Bo knew about it, didn't do anything, the administration didn't do anything about it, they have to remove his name and statue from Michigan. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Football games don't matter. All that other stuff, and I know, you know, was a part of your growing up for some people, and they felt good.
Even for you
about
and me,
that.
Right? It was a bit, I mean, I, not
everybody
that I was
knew Bo
Schembechler. Michigan fan, right?
Right.
He was a legend.
Absolutely, and everybody knows that. But the idea that this stuff went on, and anybody, Chris, could turn a blind eye to this, and then his own son to stand up there in a press conference, is that not compelling? How compelling is that? That his dad was mad at him for telling the truth. His mom was there. He went immediately knew that a doctor shouldn't be putting his finger, you know what I mean, where
right,
he did.
Right.
You knew that wasn't right, even
at
10 years old.
And you know part of the story was that, okay, so Schembechler, according to his son, punched him in the chest, sent him flailing halfway across the room is what the story said. And then Schembechler's wife, who told Bo, you're wrong, this is wrong, they went to, was it the AD?
Yeah.
The
Don
athletic
Cannon.
Director at Michigan.
Yeah. Don Cannon, I think his name is.
Yeah, and he fired the doctor immediately. So he did the right thing. And Schembechler went and made sure that the doctor was reinstated. In other words, not fired. And, Rob, I look. This is horrible. It's horrible on so many levels. I mean, first of all, just as a man, to know that that type of abuse is going on and you turned a blind eye to it is horrible.
I agree. I don't know how he slept with himself at night. Seriously.
Just as a man. Then as a football coach who has the power and the authority within the program, I don't see how you do that. Then, worst of all, they're all horrible, but you're a dad. Do you know what I would try to do to somebody if they sexually abuse one of my children?
Right.
That your number one job, duty as a father is to protect your children. Number one. And if you don't do that, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how successful you are in corporate America, as a football coach, as an athlete, whatever you do for a living. You fail big time. If you don't protect, do your best. Sometimes something might happen and it was out of your control, but you better be doing your best to protect your child from predators like this. And the fact that he knew it happened or was told it happened and didn't care, apparently? Come on.
And here's the other part. Along with the son, Chris, which is, you know, I mean, testimony enough, right, in his words.
It's your son, right.
You have two other football players who get up there. Did you see one of the guys was in tears, Chris? This happened back in the 80s.
That's the type of thing that would scar you for life.
Yes, he's a grown man. He was in tears. You think that he wants to come out and talk about what went on? But this is how, this is the whole thing on how this stuff continues. Because people, I give these guys, they're heroes, Chris. Right, because the problem is most people are too ashamed to admit it happened to them. That's how
especially
the predators continue.
Men.
Yes, right. That's right. How they continue to do it.
Yeah,
because they don't want to tell anybody.
No, you're right, Rob. You're right. And I'm with you. I agree with your column. If this is true, then Bo Schembechler, he's got to be erased from Michigan. I'm sorry. He's got to be removed. Statue, name on the hall, everything. He's got to go.
Absolutely.
And this is nothing to do with political that is wrong in every generation.
Thank you.
It's wrong
has
in
nothing
every
to
generation.
Do exactly. But Chris, you know what I'm talking about.
There's
going to be people.
Every country.
They're going to be like, "Oh, here we go. The cancel culture. They want to act like Bo Schembechler didn't exist." No, we know he existed, but we don't need to celebrate a guy who would turn his back on children when he recruited those kids, Chris, and you heard those two players. He promised my parents to take care of me.
Yep.
He promised them that if I came to play at Michigan, he would take care of me. And when they reported this stuff to Bo Schembechler, he turned his back on them. The one guy, he told them, Chris, toughen up.
Right.
The doctor did what with his fingers, and he was told to toughen up.
And here's the you're right. And here's the other thing, Rob. I mean, I don't care if he was the only doctor on earth. You get rid of him. But obviously he's not. Bo Schembechler could have got any doctor he wanted. Why was this dude so important to the program that you couldn't go out and get another doctor that's not going to abuse your children, your children and your team, your players? You know, it's interesting, Rob. I mean, we grew up, you know, when I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and this time in the 70s, I was young. Man, I'd be 4 or 5 years old, Rob, and you probably the same with you. Out, down the street, up the block, like all
Chris,
different streets.
Everywhere.
Right?
Oh,
at 5
God.
Years old. Just hanging out. My parents don't know where I'm at, and they were great parents, but I'm just saying, that's how it was. And what happened, as you know, over time, people began to see that stuff like this was happening. And so now when my kids, Rob, and this is no exaggeration.
They never left the yard and never left your sight. I know,
they
right?
They were never out of my sight.
I
never
know
out
that.
Of my sight.
I believe it. People won't
never
even let their
sight.
Kids go out the yard. Chris, we did the same thing growing up in Jamaica, Queens, in the city, in New York City. We would get on our bikes at 8 o'clock on a Saturday, Chris, and drive and ride all over Queens.
Yep.
No cell phone. That parents didn't know where we were, but you know what? We had to be back at 6 o'clock for dinner. That's the
yep.
only restriction that we had. But we used to be all over, riding all over everywhere, and it was a different time. But I'll tell you this. You know, the whole idea that these colleges, and we've seen this story, like I said, time and time again, and part of it, Chris, I honestly believe is that when people get absolute power, it corrupts them. And when people aren't checked, that's why you have to have checks and balances, even for right. a president or even, Chris, you run a company, right? There's a board of directors, right?
Yep.
They can't let you run amok and ruin the company or do whatever you want on a whim. And this is what I'm saying. On college campuses, these coaches are the end-all, be-all in these small towns, Chris. They run the police department, yep. right?
Highest no paid one's gonna, people in the state, right? Employees
everybody.
In the state.
Yes.
No, you're right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's move on to the NBA, Rob. An interesting development here. So we know that Nikola Jokic was the MVP. And yesterday, Rudy Gobert was named the Defensive Player of the Year. And Rob, the two top vote getters for both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year were international guys. So MVP, it was Jokic from Slovenia. It was Joel Embiid from the Cameroon. And then the Defensive Player of the Year, it was Rudy Gobert from France and Ben Simmons from Australia. Rob, the last three MVPs, now granted, two of them were Giannis, you know, but the last three MVP awards have been won by an international player. And the last four Defensive Player of the Year awards, Giannis and then Rudy Gobert, have been won by an international player. My first team All-NBA, Rob. Now, we'll see what it ends up being officially. But my official ballot, first team All-NBA, Chris Paul and Steph Curry at the guards, Nikola Jokic at center, Giannis Antetokounmpo at one of the forwards, and Luka Doncic at the other forwards. Three of those five are international players. Does this, it's not a bad thing, but does this say anything specifically to you? The fact that, you know, obviously a lot of these awards are being won, I won't say dominated, by international players.
Yeah, we're playing international basketball. That's what the NBA is playing now. I'm not even surprised by it. This is the game that they've been playing forever, you know?
So, you mean the style of play?
Yes.
Shoot, right.
Am I right or wrong with that, Chris?
Because you remember in the early 2000s when, unbelievably, right, NBA players start getting beat in international competition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even Rob, remember, go back to, I think it was 2000, and our team won. It was Kevin Garnett, Allen Houston, Vince Carter, Gary Payton. You know, it had a bunch of the great players. And they barely won. Remember Lithuania, like, had them on the ropes? And then eventually they started beating us. And the way they were doing it, Rob, to your point, was the drive and kick and shooting threes.
Yep.
And so 100%. We were getting twos, right?
And they were getting threes.
Right.
You know what? Darko Milicic is somewhere saying, why can't I be in the league now?
I know. You're right.
I'm serious.
Larry, or why? And look, we all do respect to Larry Brown, who is a phenomenal coach. But
he wanted no part of it back then.
For Darko. Right.
I'm serious, right. Chris. And you know this. Because Doug Gottlieb and I tried out with Doug Gottlieb on game night on ESPN Radio, right?
Okay.
That was my tryout, me and Doug Gottlieb for two or three
How long
nights.
Ago about?
Oh, man.
Roughly.
15, 16 years ago.
Okay.
All right. And he played against Darko. He swore by Darko. He told me on the air.
Yeah, he played against him overseas, right?
Yeah, he was the best 15-year-old player Chris he had ever seen. That's what Doug said.
And he was perimeter.
Yes, he was. Larry Brown wanted no part of that. You're right. But anyway, my point is, we're playing European-style basketball. I'm not surprised that Europeans are now taking over all the awards and now winning them with regularity because of the style of play. We talk about all the time, Chris, you talk about fundamentals, passing the ball, all this other stuff. Those guys do it really well. Those guys play professionally when they're 15. When they come over here, when Luka comes over here, Chris, he's 22, but he's been a professional for seven years.
Playing against grown men.
Yes. Let's not make it like he just showed up and you can't believe what he's doing. He's been playing against grown men for years.
Yeah, and Luka, as I mentioned on Jokic is from Serbia. Lucas from Slovenia. But most of these guys, Rob, are from a small part of Eastern Europe. And we brought up Larry. Now, Giannis is from Greece. Like I said, Gobert is from France. Embiid's from Africa. But speaking of Larry Brown, Rob, he told me, you got to give him credit for this, back in 1996.
And you know I think Larry Brown is the best basketball coach.
Right.
Period.
Right. And I don't, but he's a top coach. He's one of the greats. He told me in 1996, we were at the pre-draft camp in Chicago. And he told me, he said, Eastern Europe is going to become the next hotbed of basketball.
Is that what he said? Wow.
Yep. He said, it's going to become like the ghettos of America have been. Yep. He said, because those kids got nothing else. And Rob, check this out. So I was in Italy with Brandon Jennings. Remember Brandon Jennings?
Sure.
Went from high school
to
play in Rome. Right. Yeah, right. And so I was over there for like 3 weeks. One of our trips, I was traveling with the team. I was doing a story on Brandon Jennings. And so we had the team was in Rome, but they were making a trip to Serbia, Belgrade in Serbia. And one of the African-American players on Jennings' team told me, he said, look, when we get to Serbia, he said, those Europeans are the most like African-Americans that you'll see over here in Europe. And I didn't really know what he meant. I was like, okay, all right, whatever, you know? So when we get to Serbia, what he meant, it's like the hood.
Right.
Like, it is not like you go to Paris, London, Rome, you know what I mean? All that stuff, it's all glitzy and history and all that. You go to Eastern Europe, it's like downtown Detroit.
Right, I know what you mean. Right.
And Youngstown. You know, it's just not nearly as wealthy. And all that.
And for them, they play ball as a chance of them getting out.
Right.
Like I get it. I get it.
They're tough. They're hard-nosed. And
they're not afraid of playing against black players,
right.
Chris. It's not.
Right.
Like that's one of the knocks on white basketball players from
Americans.
The United States. You've seen this where, you know, a team could be really good. The kids could be really good. All of a sudden, an all-black team shows up in a gym, and then they can't play. You know, like.
Right. Right, right. No, you're right. And they come over with a swagger. Obviously, Luka has got a swag. And so it's interesting. I think you hit on something, Rob. And we seem to be getting there a little bit. I think the G League helps. But, you know, here's some of the reasons. And look, let's keep it real. You still have tons of great American players.
No doubt.
You
Nobody's
made a
saying
good point that.
That,
look, the game is global now.
Right.
And so you're going to have some great players from other countries. But, you know, young players. Okay, yeah, Giannis, Jokic, Luka, they're all 26 and under. But you also got Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum. You know what I mean? Like, you've got all these great American players as well. But, Rob, I think you mentioned the style of play, which is a good point. I think also the way they bring you up in the game, when you go over there, Rob, they drill, 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 and they work on skills. Over here with AAU becoming the predominant, you know, form of youth basketball, they just play games. You know it. You go. A team goes for a weekend,
no
and
drills.
They might play six
no
to
drills.
Eight games. Right. They're not running drills. They're not doing jump stop moves. They're not working on their handle and shot. They are not sliding drills, whatever. They are balling. And obviously our kids still have great skills, but they are drilling them over there. And so you see a lot of these players, Rob, who we wouldn't consider athletic.
But they know how to play, yes.
Right.
There's a big difference. You know that, Chris. Athletically, guys can jump out of the gym, but do they really know how to play the game?
Even if they got great one-on-one handle and jumper, right? That doesn't mean they know how to play with four other players.
Right.
So I think that's a factor. And then, you know, over there, what they do, Rob, they divorce sports from academics. Like you said, Luka's a pro at 15.
Right.
He's been playing. He might be getting some type of tutoring, right? Maybe. But it's not like he's going to be ineligible to play. You know what I mean? If he's not that smart or doing that well in school or whatever. And so at a younger age, it's like, look, you're going to be a basketball player. And he's focusing on it. So, like I said, the G League, you know, maybe getting, you know, as these younger kids, they don't have to worry about going to college. A lot of them are going to the G League now, and they can just work on their games. Even in the high school level, Rob, you saw with this, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Remember, like, the new league, the National High School League? What's probably going to happen, Rob, is you're going to start having kids, the best kids from all over the country, probably going to these schools, you know?
Yep.
And then they're going to be head and shoulders above, you know, your typical all-state teams and stuff. And so, you know, those may become more basketball factories. But I think, you like you said, it's skills is a big difference in what you're seeing. And that's how a Jokic and a Doncic and, you know, these guys are excelling.